Today's commandment, number 9 of the Ten Commandments, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie. We sang, I know we shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight. So we delight in God's Ten Commandments and his law. And it's good to remember that the Ten Commandments and this commandment, don't bear false witness, is not a ladder that we try to climb up to and meet God through and have peace and forgiveness because we keep the Ten Commandments. That's not the purpose. Ten Commandments were given after God gave salvation to the people, after he rescued Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah and Moses. And he said, here's my law that you can delight in. And so it's not a ladder, but it's a mirror in which we see our need for a Savior. And it's like a great piece of glass where we see the glory of God in his law. So we delight in his law. And we know it points us to Jesus very, very effectively. World around us respects this commandment. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. You hear things in the news, you know, keeping them honest. And a person, they say something and they check it out. You know, well, we're going to fact check this, what was said and what was apparently said to be done. I remember as a 10-year-old boy hearing a song that drove home this ninth commandment. It was one of these one-hit wonders by the Castaways. In fact, if you know who the Castaways are, you're truly an old-time music... Frank knows the... And the title of the... Well, I don't know what the title of the song was. I think it was Liar, Liar. And the words went, liar, liar, pants on fire, your nose is longer than a telephone wire. Okay. And some of you sung that at your high school reunion. I know it. But some just totally missed it. But that, they were saying, hey, truth is important. Lying is a bad thing. Everybody who has a conscience knows that. And a little boy in Bible quizzing, perhaps, he was trying to remember what lying was. And in Proverbs 6, it says, lying is an abomination to the Lord, something God hates. But he got mixed up. He said, a lie is an abomination to the Lord and an ever-present help in time of trouble. And people lie to cover themselves, protect themselves, don't want to deal with things the way they are, want to deal with our own perspective. This is my view on things. Well, we appreciate your foggy glasses, you know, not able to see the truth and let God tells it to us. That's the way we are. We're in the dark, but Jesus is the light of the world, so he can help us with our tendency to lie. And God assures us in his word, he's the source of truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. Is there anybody who hasn't lied or been lied to? Okay. That's a painful thing on both ends. But one person you've never been lied to from is God. He has never lied to you. And we could trust him 100%. He speaks to us in the Bible. And, of course, when we're open to him in our conscience. Let God be true and every man a liar. One of our musicians has a saying, tell the truth and shame the devil. That's a good old-time thing. His grandma used to tell him. And a lie is a serious thing because it's an attack on God's character. Because Jesus said he is the truth. So when we lie, we're basically saying God's not important. And we could lie to ourselves. That's very bad. We could lie to one another. That's hurtful. We can't lie to God. He knows. Okay. He's the faithful and true one. And Jesus said this, everybody on the side of truth listens to me. That's something. And that's a good Bible verse you could share with one of your friends, you know, when they come up, oh, how come we don't have truth today, you know, we can't believe anything anymore and kind of have a cynical view of the whole world. You could say, well, there is someone you can believe. Jesus said, anybody who's on the side of truth listens to me. So perhaps that person would be interested in reading what Jesus would have to say and look into his word. And so, where does this line come from that we have this problem? Jesus would be honest with us, of course. From within, he said, out of men's hearts comes malice and deceit. So I can't blame the culture. I can't say, well, everybody lies, I got to lie too. You know, it's from within. It's a heart problem that we have to bear false witness against others, or perhaps in a false way defend ourselves. Our lying, as the Eagles would say, our lying eyes, we can't hide, sometimes affects our worship. Jesus said, these people honor me with their words, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want to lie during worship, you know. That's why sometimes there's a hesitation even to worship God. He wants it from the heart to the words. And I know in my life I've sung, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And I've sung, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. And the next thing you know, as the day wears on or Monday morning, something else is number one in my life. I just honored God with my words, empty words they were. My heart was far from him. You know, so God, he takes all those words seriously. As Jesus said, you know, we stand before him and we give an account to him. And the tree needs to be made good. I'm going to have a foul mouth because I got a foul heart. I got a dirty heart. The tree needs to be made good so the fruit is good. Make the tree good, the fruit will be good. So we know that our fruit is a signal of the condition of our heart. And worship, again, an issue, Psalm 101. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. You know, just a warning to our soul. It's hard to worship God when we're deceptive. This is a rough application, but I think it rings true based on this here and based on my own experience. Liars don't like to go to church. Liars don't like to go to church. Because nobody who practices deceit is really going to dwell in a situation where they praise the Lord. And that's a sad thing and need of repentance. And unforgiven liars will not go to heaven. That's why the forgiveness of God is needed, just in terms of this commandment. If I kept all these other commandments and yet I broke this one, I would be lost. You know, lost forever. God values truth like that. The Bible gives many warnings about lying and the truth. Psalm 26, a lying tongue is filled with hate. So there's a hate against God, hate against people when I lie, bear false witness. Proverbs 11, with my words, the godless destroys his neighbor. Again, it's instead of loving my neighbor as myself, I hate my neighbor in some manner by bearing things against him. Even gossip itself, an attack on the person's character or a person made in the image of God. You might say, well, I gossip, and what happened was true. I tell you, Joe robbed from the bank. Hey, Joe robbed from the bank. I tell this one and this one and this one. Call the prayer chain. Pray for Joe. He robbed the bank. You know, it's like, whew. And you say, well, that's true. Can't I say it? That's not gossip. When we say it, and it's an attack on the person's character, that's not the sum total of who Joe is. My word. Joe's, he could be a brother in Christ. Joe might be, struggling with a serious, he don't have no food, so he stole the money from the bank. No excuse. But you don't know what was going on in the thief Joe, as we talked last week. One of his buddies died next to Jesus, the thief, and went to heaven because he turned to God. And so to gossip, somebody said gossip hurts three people. It hurts the person who says it, hurts the person who hears it, and it hurts the person that you gossip about. So it's like three sins in one. I gossiped one time to one of our Christian sisters, thank the Lord. She called me right on it. Boom. She goes, "You said it. I stepped in it." Well, that was a graphic illustration. She was saying, "Don't give me your BS." I mean, sorry for that. But that was her intent to say, this is not right in there. So gossip, how do we, and the tongue. James says, no one can control the tongue. And so only God can control the tongue. We don't want to use it to praise God and curse our fellow man. We just don't want to do that. That's not of God. And a good practice is to cover with your words even the sins and difficulties of others. He who covers over an offense promotes love. This is actually what Jesus does for us at the cross. You know, he doesn't take your sin and my sin and broadcast it all over the news or tell all our friends or even tell our family members, you know, they know where our hearts are at. But he covers the offense with his love and encourages us to turn back to him, turn to him. Jesus does this for us in our words. And if we know that our hearts are loved by God and Jesus gave his life for us, our hearts will be filled with praise and thanks and gratitude, and we won't have time for lying or bearing false witness or tearing down those for whom Christ died. We just won't have time for it. And even the unforgiveness that we're easily susceptible to, that'll be worked on with God's help. We've received grace, so we pass it out, pass forgiveness on. We won't become, disrespectful and malicious against people. We'll be glad about the Lord himself. And how does he help us? Good things about God's character who cures this falsehood problem. It's impossible for God to lie. All the promises of God, we can trust 100%. So we follow Jesus, we learn how wonderful the truth is. And we don't have to, be of a lie. Love rejoices in the truth. So we're glad about that. And those two go together real good. You know, if you're just truthful and you don't love, you're very judgmental, rough on people kind of person. But if you love but hesitate with the truth, it's not really love. It's just kind of throwing a wet blanket on everything. It doesn't work. But love rejoices in the truth. So it brings tension to the goodness of God. And we pray to God to help us. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in your sight. We recognize we need God's help to not lie and to be people of the truth. King David, open my mouth and my words will bring forth your praise. He prayed that when he was repenting. Lord, keep me from deceitful ways. Set a guard over my mouth. Psalm 141. And help no unwholesome words to come, but only would build up. It was at Somerset Alliance Church. There's a fellow who did explosives to collapse buildings. And it was fantastic. That'd be a fun job. You stick, dynamite all over the building, and then you hit the switch and kaboom. And there you go. But we don't want to be that way with our words. And there were people in the church who built things. They built, took longer, more patience, gladness, that and the lasting effect and so forth. And so to build others up toward God is our calling. And we want to put before God a clean heart that he would give us and a clean mind. Clean words. There's a boy trying to get in an amusement park with his dad, the story goes. And the boy's 11 years old and the sign says, amusement park. Adults, $50. Children under 10, $40. So the dad says, just say you're 9. And the little boy goes, "Oh no, I'm not going to hell for $10. you know. No, no. And the boy had a sense of, I'm not going to bear false witness, but what lies are you willing to put up with? What lies are you willing to say? For what reason? Are you willing to believe the lie that you could work your way to heaven? That's a bad lie. Are you willing to believe the lie you could cover your own sin by your goodness? Nope. You can know the truth that sets you free and trust the Lord. He's the one. And only He can take away our dirty heart so that we have clean words. My one of my parents decided the best way to cure my foul mouth. Wouldn't recommend this today, but people did it and they think, oh, it probably worked. Didn't work with me. Say lies or falsehoods or cuss a lot. Get your mouth washed out with soap. They could have washed my mouth out with soap every day for 10 years. It would not have worked. Had a dirty mouth because I had a dirty heart. And so needed the Lord to clean my heart. Then my words came. That's better than any soap could do. And whatever you're relying on other than the Lord, He's the one to give us a clean heart. And isn't it great? We could be dirty heart, dirty mouth, people who pass on the good news from God. Good news from God out of these. Someone said, you know, Christians are like a dirty pipe through which pure water comes. Pure water comes from us. And I just using the, if you say, I need this change, say, Jesus be my Savior, give me a clean heart so I can have a clean mouth. And God will do that for you. And to give credit to an old, I think, Gaither song, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, God understood. The confusion of our lies, He understands. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. And like Isaiah, all we had to offer Him was a foul mouth. But God makes something beautiful of our life. Gives us a clean heart, clean words. What the world needs. You know, don't just spend your life cussing out the darkness. But the light of the world is Jesus. And He shines through you. So we're glad He can make us like this. And give Him all the credit to follow Him this way. Put your trust in Him. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your good commandments. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We're real sloppy with this commandment. We, like Jesus said, the poison comes out of the snake's mouth too fast. So give us a clean heart. Make the tree good by having us receive and trust You. Make the fruit good. And what a refreshment and power it will be as we speak of Jesus and His love. Speak the truth in love. And lying is no more among God's people. And so this will be, you do this as we surrender to You. We pray, Lord, as we come to Your table for other folks who need Your care and are hurting. We pray for those who are ill in chronic pain, limited ability physically, emotionally. Give peace and strength, recovery to many. For folks in particular fighting cancer, Lord, give remission. That You show Yourself great on people's behalf. And we pray for folks in Pittsburgh still grieving from just a week ago, pain and loss, that they would know God comes and gives life through Jesus our Savior. And just be close to every broken heart, even the ones here today. Hear our silent prayers. We come to You, and we know You'll do. Help us walk in Your ways. Pray for missionary Tim as he comes next week. Help him be strengthened and built